Hi, this is Savannah.
And this is Brian from the Dorky Diva Show.
And you're listening to Star Wars,
the best place for below average Star Wars.
In a world where people need 80s and 90s movie reviews, two regular Geordies combine forces to bring you the Brother to Brother 80s and 90s Movie Review Podcast. Check them out on Twitter, YouTube, and all decent podcast vendors.
Hello there, and welcome to the Star Wars Show, the best place for below average Star Wars. And we are back with a very special episode today. It is obviously February 7th, and it is Star Wars Podcast Day. You might be wondering why there is a Star Wars Podcast Day, and why it is on February the 7th. And the reason is, it is the 24th anniversary of Jedi Talk, the very first Star Wars related podcast, which premiered back on February 7th in 1999. So obviously, yeah, I just want to give you the pioneers who started the Star Wars podcasting journey, adventures. Do we take our hats off to you guys? And here we are, Star Wars, 24 years later, making podcasts talking about Star Wars as well as sort of everyone else that does it. But yeah, that is the reason why. I'm obviously joined today by Jason Hondo-Ling, fellow co-host. Jason, how are you?
Hi, Pete. Yeah, really pleased to be here with you. And crazy, isn't it? All this time that they've been doing Star Wars podcasts and now we get to join in with the fun.
We do indeed. Now, I didn't have the internet back in 1999. I was very much a 10-year-old at the time. Wasn't really doing much internet until I was about 13, 14. And even then, I wasn't looking for podcasts. But obviously, we've been podcasting together for probably over a year now. The Star Wars podcast itself has been going for just over 3 years. But is there any other Star Wars podcasts you've listened to in your time as being a Star Wars fan that you enjoy and that you want to talk about?
But I've sort of very few that I've sort of really dipped in and out of. But the one obviously that sort of brought yourself and myself together was obviously the Dorky Diva with Savannah and Brian, which was sort of what tickled my interest into doing a podcast because I enjoyed listening to their one. I have dipped in and out. Obviously, I've got to say Jedi News is very good own Radio 1138. That one I listen to quite a lot, partly because obviously I'm so involved with the behind the scenes side of it and good friends with both James and Steve, and obviously Kat and Mark and all the guys there. It's something that it's finding the time, but it's the amount that there are out there is absolutely fantastic. And obviously, it's grown and grown. And the whole medium now, so that you can actually sit at home in front of your laptop and talk to the world about things that interest you. And then you can start interacting. Obviously, like with the Dorky Diva guys, although I haven't been active for a long time on there, but I used to really enjoy the Discord group and getting to know the fans there and talking to different people, similar interests. And I found there it was a supportive community. So it's sort of like, it's not just giving out information about Star Wars or talking about your interests in Star Wars, but it's also getting to know the people that share that interest with you. And obviously, the internet's been a big part and long may it go on.
I think some of my favourite Star Wars podcasts are obviously the Dorky Diva Show, as you mentioned, with Savannah and Brian. They've done all sorts. They were primarily a Star Wars podcast. And they even created their own Star Wars audio story, audio play, you could say, which they're working on a sequel to, which is fantastic. Obviously, The Adventures of the Zolandar. They've recently ventured out into recording other things, not just Star Wars, including Lord of the Rings, or many other things, you know. And I'm not sure what they do in this year, 2023. I think my favourite Star Wars podcast ever is Sky Talkers with Charlotte and Caitlin. I think the content they put out is superior to any other content that any other person puts out, bar none. They've had a great, fantastic year with sort of getting interviews with people lately, but even before they were getting that, you know, 4 years before they were doing that, they were still producing great content about everything from a deep dive into George Lucas's life, specials into Yoda, specials into Obi-Wan Kenobi, reviewing all the new stuff coming out, novel reviews, all from a really, not only a fun place, but also quite an intellectual place as well. So that's one of my favorites as well. So if anyone's listening and after other Star Wars podcasts listen to, I would say go check out Sky Talkers and go check out the Doughty Diva Show, 100%. But no, that brings us, you know, to our special episode. You know, it is Star Wars Podcast Day. You know, it is February 7th, 24 years since the first ever Star Wars podcast, Jedi Talk, was released. And we're just going to have a nice, easy episode, Jason.
Yeah, I like that.
Obviously, one of my favourite things is lists. So we're just going to talk about some of our top five of things in the Star Wars universe. So I'll shoot it over you, Jason. Who's your sort of top five main characters in all of Star Wars?
Yeah, I liked this one. So obviously, I think for me, number one for the main characters has got to be Obi-Wan, because it's more of, I think, because as you know, I'm very much into the animated side, so I enjoy the journey that we go on with Obi-Wan and Anakin throughout the Clone Wars. But also, I was Alec Guinness, who originated the role, I absolutely loved that, the way he played it and everything. And then when they brought Ewan McGregor in and he took on the role, and he, you know, to begin with, in Phantom Menace, was a lot younger, you know, it was a completely different Obi-Wan. But by the time we got to Revenge of the Sith, it is Revenge of the Sith, I had to think for a second there, you've sort of got this character that's matured and is heading towards the Alec Guinness role. And that's the one I think that always stuck with me. Then obviously, you know, second for me had to be Luke Skywalker. Because one, again, I love Mark Hamill. I felt disappointed with the sequels that he wasn't in it as much. But unlike a lot of people, I didn't have an issue with what, especially Rian Johnson, did with the character of Luke Skywalker. I could quite see, from all the other different ideas, the idea of this, from what we got at the beginning of the, you know, the original trilogy, we've got this character who was very young, earnest. He wanted to save the galaxy, basically. And then by the end of it, you know, he'd sort of seen himself fail and retreated. Which I felt was actually quite a interesting way to go, instead of us picking up where he was still the hero, obviously fallen on his luck. And by the end of it, he made the ultimate sacrifice to be the hero again. So it was almost a redemption story, which sort of tied into the Anakin Skywalker story. So for me, Luke Skywalker went on that journey. The fact that we're now also getting little bits and pieces through The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, where, you know, you're seeing the younger Luke Skywalker between the originals and the sequels, I'm enjoying that. And I'm actually hoping that, you know, I've got no problem with the way that they were going, you know, with having the likeness of Mark Hamill. And even, you know, and I know Mark Hamill said, you know, there are actors that could play a younger version of Luke Skywalker quite happily. And I don't think I get hung up so much about another actor playing a character, because that's what actors do. And the character is the way it's portrayed. Obviously, then another one of my main character, or my third main character, I think has got to be Anakin, I think, then. Again, not necessarily the Anakin that we saw in the prequel films. You know, there was hit and miss there. But then when we went into the Clone Wars and you saw the progression of the character and the manipulation by Palpatine, it was like you could see how this story happened. And, you know, for me then, it made the story that we'd seen in the films a lot more realistic. So I think that's why, for me, Anakin then came in at number three. My fourth one, I think, would probably be Han Solo, because he is just, he's the rogue, he's a hero, he doesn't initially want to be the hero, he's a reluctant hero, but he has good in him, so that inevitably he is going to be the one that comes through for everyone. So yeah, I think number four for Han Solo is got to be Han Solo. And then number five, I'm gonna go for Chewbacca, because for me, he is a main character. He's a character that shows throughout the films and other medium, you know, he plays a part without having a voice, so to speak. It's more actions and, you know, mannerisms. And I think that makes him quite a powerful character. And, you know, he rushes in to protect everyone. And obviously he's got this past where he's been very downtrodden, you know, and enslaved. And I think as a character, he's there all the way through, and obviously he keeps popping up in all the different mediums. You know, he's been there almost as much as Yoda. So for me, he's one of my main characters and top five.
Is that all your? So you've gone through five there, Jason?
I've gone through five there, Pete.
Spawn, I think, I'm not going to name five, but I think obviously, you know, one of mine is Ben Solo / Kylo Ren. You know, I think one of the reasons why I love this character is, you know, he's a confused, angry man, radicalized by powerful forces whispering in his ear. He's essentially the heir to generational trauma. And I think, you know, when you've got sort of the pressure of being the in the lineage of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And then sort of, you know, you've got those angry forces sort of pulling you anyway, and you've got a bit of a dysfunctional family going on with your mum and your dad, and then, you know, you go to Luke's school, and sort of the pressure's on you to be the best student there because of your bloodline. It's almost doomed to fail from the beginning. So, you know, I quite love that, and I love how the script and also, you know, Adam Driver's performance depicts that sort of pull and push from the light. And, you know, even after his darkest moments, the sort of that light still pulls at him, and, you know, almost brings him back through, you know, episode 7 and episode 8. And then obviously the end of episode 9 does pull him back. So Ben Solo, Kylo Ren is definitely one of mine. I think you said Luke Skywalker again, just the hero's journey. You know, this young lad who doesn't really know, you know, he doesn't know his true parentage, doesn't really know much about his family's past, but knows that the Moisha Palm is not for him, always looking to the horizon, always wanting to be involved, and ends up, you know, by the seat of his pants being involved. And, you know, we sort of see him go from this sort of young farm boy who doesn't really understand much to, you know, being the Last Jedi and, you know, showing love to his father, you know, helping defeat the Emperor, defeat the Empire, bring about the New Republic. And then, you know, then look to rebuild the Jedi Order, which doesn't go too well. And then, you know, after all that good stuff he's done and the struggles, you know, the one thing he's meant to do, rebuild the Jedi Order, don't come, sort of fails. And then that's when he sort of takes himself away from the world, almost as if,
yeah,
you know, maybe the world's better off without me. Who are we to think that we can just be here and help everything? But then in the end, gets called back in. And then, as we said, uses his best trick to last, able to transport himself across the galaxy. And obviously, it takes up all his energy and, you know, ultimately kills Luke Skywalker in his last defying moment against evil, which gives us hope with sort of the rebels of the resistance escaping. Yeah, I think Luke Skywalker's fantastic as well. Going on from there, Jason, I want to know who your top five minor Star Wars characters are, background Star Wars characters are.
Yeah. The first one for me is my easiest one. He's my favourite, or one of my favourites in the animated series. And he's the one that I just want to appear in live action. And that's obviously my namesake, Hondo Inaka. Absolutely love him. He's just this... he's this rogue that you never know whether he's going to betray them or help them. 9 times out of 10, he's going to help them, but it's always going to be for his own means. So I do, yeah, Hondo Inaka's my favourite background character. Obviously, number two, I was torn... Actually, I probably should have put this one, or this one would have been in one of my top five, or would have been in the top 10 of main characters. But I do see him as sort of an assistant character, and that's got to be R2-D2. But he is, even with just the beeps and the beeps, he is a character in himself. And he's also one of the one... characters that, you know, you've got all the way through the films, and plays a vital role. Three, then again, same to a certain degree, but obviously C-3PO, again, a character. Anthony Daniels would probably hate me for saying that he's a secondary character, you know, he's very much part of the main team. So it's sort of difficult to bunch them in, but he's one of these characters that delivers a lot. And I think that was the one thing that I really did get out of Rise of Skywalker, is that J.J. Abrams gave Anthony Daniels the chance to finally properly shine. And see the character of C-3PO almost show him, well, yeah, I would say show emotion. And, you know, he went from being this protocol droid to, in effect, being the saviour and leading them through to where they needed to go. So, yeah, that would be my third one. Number four, I think, would be Mace Windu. Because he, for me, is, although he isn't what I class as a main character, as a Jedi, he is one of the ones that there's a little bit more to him than just being a good guy or a bad guy. He sort of sits in the middle. And I think, you know, he partly embodies where the Jedi are almost going wrong. And that's why ultimately his story ends at the moment as it does. So he's one of the characters I definitely picked there. And I think number five, I'm trying to think of the one that I would probably go for here. I suppose, again, he should really be classed as a main character, but I'd say Yoda falls in at that point. He's the character that obviously delivers throughout the series, all the way through, and obviously he's now also part of the High Republic. So he's this continuity piece, and also embodies everything that is expected to be Jedi. But again, he also embodies where the Jedi Order has the potential to go wrong. But as a character, especially when you look at the early appearance in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, where you've got a little bit of a more playful character, which I really enjoyed. And, you know, Frank Oz just delivers a brilliant vocal performance there. That's my five, I think.
I think the droids are fantastic choice for Yoda. I would even class them as, like, they come together, don't they? They're like a tag team, so, you know, you don't get R2-D2 and I think if you look at one of the things I love about them is, you know, that if you take A New Hope, you know, the first Star Wars movie, sort of they're thrown into that adventure just as the viewer is. So they're like they're sort of narrators, and they feel what we're feeling. You know, they get thrown into that adventure, you know, the ship gets attacked, and they don't know what's going on. We see the ship get attacked, we don't know what's going on, and we, you know, we see our two get the plans and say where they're going. But we're sort of with them every step of the way. So definitely R2-D2 and C-3PO are huge for me. I think a Jedi is huge for me is Plo Koon. He's on the Jedi Council. He's in the background, you know. We get a bit more of him in the Clone Wars, but he's essentially a Jedi who sort of doesn't get too involved with the politics of the Senate. It's very much about being there with the Jedi, with the students, and then obviously sadly fighting in the war. We see that he has a very big influence on Ahsoka, who's, you know, perhaps one of the few sort of perfect Jedi left, as the Jedi Order collapses. So Plo Koon's up there for me. And then I also think another minor character who is awesome is Boba Fett. Maybe not so much a minor background character now with the series and stuff, but I think growing up and being a teenager and having Star Wars, you know, you knew he was sort of badass. You didn't know much about him, though. You didn't know what his face looked like, you know, until we got the prequels. But I think it just that allure of mysteriousness and sort of that killer look, just a coolness, is a big one for me on him. Next one, Jason, have you got your top five vehicles? So this can include both spaceships, speeders, land vehicles, anything that's mechanic that moves, essentially, in Star Wars.
Yeah, this one quite easy for me. Number one is Millennium Falcon. That is just the centerpiece for me of the Star Wars galaxy. A ship it's almost become a character in itself, because it's that well known. And it's just, you know, you see it and you think there it is going into battle and that, but then it's also falling to pieces at the same time, and you've got Han and Chewie rebuilding it as they go, and then later obviously you've got Finn and Rey doing very similar sort of things. And I just, the ship, you know, just delivers that grittiness to show that it's, you know, it's not this sparkling piece of equipment. It's fallen to pieces, it's seen a past, and it's got a story to tell. My second one there is, after that, has got to be, and I'm going to call it by the name it's supposed to be known as, which is Slave One. And again, I just think the design that they came up with for that, the whole concept of Slave One for Boba's ship, what they've done with it, and then, like, more that we saw of it with the TV series, The Book of Boba Fett, the more I saw, the more I was like, I love this ship. And I think it's, you know, a real big part of the Star Wars galaxy. Then my third one is again another ship that to me has almost its own body and is a character in itself, and that's got to be the Ghost from Rebels. I'm a huge Rebels fan, but I like the fact that it's a different design. It looks different to what we'd expect from, you know, obviously the previous films and animation, but it's still very Star Wars like. And I like the fact that you've then got the Phantom that attaches to it. And obviously you've got Phantom 1 and Phantom 2, which they acquired over the time. Just absolutely love those. And obviously being a huge Lego fan, it is my pride and joy of my Lego collection. And I really, really, if they ever did a UCS version of the Ghost, then I would sell parts of my body to make sure that I could have that ship. Number four, I'm going to go again because it's part of the Star Wars Rebels, which is Rex's AT-TT. But obviously any of the walkers from the series, from the films, but that one in particular, because of the way it's been modified almost as a walking fortress or a walking home. But the idea of having these walking war machines as opposed to the usual tanks, cars and that sort of thing, I just thought it was something unique that, again, it was given the machines a humanity or a animalistic look that hadn't been seen before in sort of sci-fi sort of things. So any of the walkers, but for me also Rex's AT-TE, I think it is, isn't it? And then number five, I think I'm going to go for Luke's land speeder, because that's just sort of the thing. You see it and you think, actually, I could imagine us zooming around in one of those sort of things one day. And it's almost like a hovercraft, so we've sort of got something like it. That for me and the design, the way it looked, it looked like it could be a car, but it certainly wasn't. And yeah, I just love that from the Star Wars galaxy.
I think mine would be, you know, definitely the Millennium Falcon's up there, you know, as you said, for all the reasons you said, you know, it's almost a character in itself. You know, it's sort of, it's our hero's refuge. It's our hero's savior. Doesn't always behave itself. Sometimes it's breaking down, it's damaged. It's very much lived in. You know, they fix it as they go, modify it as they go. But whenever the cards are down, it always comes up trumps and gets them out of there, which is awesome. I think the walkers, like the AT-AT, is absolutely, you know, that is what sort of, as a kid when you're watching the Star Wars, makes it jump out at you. You know, I think for me, you know, seeing the AT-ATs and all the walkers on Hoth, that, you know, that's like nothing you've seen before in any war movie or, you know, in real life or sci-fi or fiction, you know, then it's captivating and grabs you. The same with the chicken walkers, the AT-STs that you've got, be, you know, the summer Hoth, but we see them mainly in action in Return of the Jedi on Endor, and just the way they walk and the, you know, they're quite menacing and fast the way they move. But then we also see them, you know, quite funny when the Ewoks get them to sort of be wobbly over things. That's really, really good. They're really big ones for me. And then another huge one for me is Jabba's sail barge. You know, I think it's like an old luxury sort of sail liner that's sort of fell into ruin, is very old. And then this gangster's now got it. And it's probably the pride and joy of his collection, but he uses it to drive around the desert and live in luxury, shall we say, while he watches people die, or probably uses it to go and watch pod races as well. But the sail barge and just how it was a different side of Jabba's palace, which was really, really good. They're sort of the vehicles that stand out. And then I remember when the Stap so which is the sort of the Trade Federation one droid sort of speeder bike came out. And I remember getting the figure before Phantom Menace came out. I didn't actually get it. My friend Jonathan had the figure. I didn't have it, but I used to play with it at his. And I remember that just like getting us really, really hyped for the Phantom Menace coming. I don't know why, but it just did. So sort of the stab comes in there as well for me, the Trade Federation stab. Moving on from that, Jason, is there five people who aren't or haven't been involved in Star Wars, but who you want to be in the future? Could be obviously actors, writers, directors.
Yeah, and this one, you set me a challenge here. One of the first ones, I was trying to think of directors, and I know it sounds stupid, but I'd almost like Spielberg to do something.
That's not stupid, man. I think that's like the dream, isn't it?
Yeah. Saying that, Spielberg over the last few years hasn't completely caught my magic, you know. But no, I do. Spielberg, I think him and if he worked on something, probably I'd quite like to see him doing a story involving Luke Skywalker, I think. That would be one of the ultimate ones, because it's just his way of telling stories is very similar to George Lucas. Another one, an actor that I quite like to see, and it's probably a scene quite strange, is Nick Cage as a Jedi or something like that, or a dark Jedi. There's something about Nicolas Cage that his films, they're not always the greatest, but him as an actor really can bring comedy and menace together.
He is an Academy Award.
I know he is, and exactly. You know, some of the films he does, I quite enjoy. It's like I loved the original National Treasure films, and obviously the new series that they've done without Nicolas Cage has been absolutely brilliant. So he could almost be a treasure hunter sort of thing. So, you know, it could be anything, but I think he could bring something different to Star Wars. Now this is one that, strictly speaking, she's already been involved, because she, I think she was the seventh sister, was Sarah Michelle Gellar. But I'd love to see her in live action stuff. Lloyd,
already been involved. Already been involved.
I'm not allowed that not one.
Jason, that is the path of the dark side, is cheating.
Right, what one else can I come up with? Tommy Lee Jones. He's an actor, doesn't do so much now, but I could see him doing almost, again, a Jedi sort of thing, but more curmudgeon-y, bit like Mark Hamill in The Last Jedi. And he's an actor, and obviously he's worked with Harrison Ford before, and he's one of these actors that can play off of other actors quite well. So I quite like him in it in some way. And Robert Downey Jr. But I'm not sure how he fit into it. But he's just one of those actors that, for me, is he plays quirky characters. And I think sometimes Star Wars could do with a few quirky characters. That would be one actor that I'd quite like to see do something. I think I've done five there, haven't I?
Good choices. I think mine would be, I would love Quentin Tarantino to come and write and direct a sort of almost a tale from Jabba's Palace type of thing. And, you know, imagine you've got these characters who sort of are all going to Jabba's Palace or the cantina or whatever for different reasons, different stories, and how it all intertwines into chaos. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. I know, you know, Quentin's got one movie left. You know, if he said he's only going to direct 10, he's done 9. I think he's probably not going to do a Star Wars, but for me, I would love to see him, as I said, write and direct the sort of a Tales from Jabba's Palace, a underworld gritty type of comedy, slash thriller, where again, as I said, you know, you've got these sort of different groups of people, different characters arriving, whether it be Jabba's Palace, whether it be a cantina, something like that, and then how those stories intertwine, and then how chaos erupts would be awesome. I think you said Steven Spielberg. I think Steven Spielberg, in my opinion, the master of his craft, the greatest shot-for-shot director of all time. You know, he does comedies, he does disaster movies, he does sci-fi, he does fairy tales, he does sort of true events, he does musicals. The man doesn't have a genre. He's very much the master of his craft. So I think Spielberg doing whatever Spielberg wanted to do for me would be absolutely fantastic. I think speaking of actors, I would love to see Viggo Mortensen, obviously from Lord of the Rings, who played Aragorn. I think he would be fantastic. I think he's so good. He could be everything from a... He could be sort of a... He could be a crazy Jedi Knight. You know, he could be a really evil crime lord. He could be a high-up Imperial Moff officer on the ISB. He could sort of play it all. You know, if you watch him in Aragorn, you know, he's the perfect good guy, you know. But if you watch him you know, some of the movies here with David Cronenberg, you know, where it's a history of violence and things like that, you know, and you sort of see in Eastern Promises, you see that sort of that different side of him, where he's still likable, but he's very much got that edge where he could pull off sort of these sinister roles. So Viggo Mortensen's one for me. I think female acting-wise, you know, I think someone who's doing fantastic right now is, and I've forgotten her name, believe it or not, Florence Pugh, sorry, I don't remember her name.
She's
been fantastic at the minute. Again, you know, could be the funny half good guy, half bad guy in the Marvel movies, you know, but we've also seen her, you know, just being some real art house stuff, putting in really, really good performances. Again, she could be anyone from a handmaiden to a Jedi to, you know, she could be young, becoming an Imperial officer. You know, I think Florence Pugh would be fantastic as well. They're sort of my people who I've gone with there. I know you probably haven't got 5 for these ones, Jason. So just what's some of your favourite Star Wars stories not told on television or on the movie screen, sort of in books and comics? Have you got a couple of favourite ones?
Obviously, for me, I love the Dr. Aphra comic books. I think the quirkiness of the characters. I can never remember the two evil droids that she has in the early series of the comics, but they were absolutely brilliantly. And it was such a complete turnaround from, obviously, R2-D2 and C-3PO. Just very cleverly done. The stories linked in, and again, it was almost bringing in the archaeology side of it. So you've almost got a tinge of Indiana Jones mixed with Star Wars. For me, those books or comic books were absolutely brilliant. So I really enjoyed those. The other ones that I loved reading the novelizations of all of the films. I went, especially with the prequels, I don't know if you can remember, but obviously when the prequels came out, quite often the books came out at exactly the same time as the film. And I probably did the most sacrilege thing out that quite often I read the novelization of the film before I went and saw the film. I know I certainly did that with Attack of the Clones, and I think in some ways that egged on my enjoyment of the film more than it gave me a little bit of anticipation for what was coming in the film. And I found myself, because inevitably there was a lot of stuff that was in the books that weren't in the films, so I came searching then to see though, you know, and I think I played them out in my mind myself. So I used to quite enjoy that actually happening. does it have to be storybooks, or can I also talk about some of the more like the information books?
I think let's finish up with the canon, the stories, and then we can go to that after.
Yeah. So what was the most recent one I really enjoyed? I'm trying to think which one it was. I've probably been more traditional in the older generation, and it was the story. No, it's completely slipped me now. Sorry.
Just describe it, for us.
The main one. Yep. So I think that's mainly with me. The main stuff. Oh, and also the Darth Vader comic book original, the first sort of Marvel run with Charles Soule, when it started. And also, no, I just suddenly remembered then, that was the other one I wanted to say, the Tales from Vader's Castle, and that series of books that Kevin Scott produced for Halloween for, I think it was 3 years on the trot. Those were very clever, very dark, different to what you'd expect, but still Star Wars.
Awesome. I think some of mine would be, you know, I think Lost Stars, which sort of tells the story of the original trilogy sort of through the eyes of two children who are, you know, one's rich, one's poor, both end up going off the Imperial Academy. One becomes a rebel, one stays in the Empire, and essentially shows you their journey, the original trilogy through their eyes, and also takes you up to the Battle of Jakku to sort of set up The Force Awakens. 100% recommended that by Claudia Gray. Great book, Lost Stars. I think The High Republic, I'm sort of a bit behind and all over with it, but the books I've read I love. The reason why I'm all over with it is because I'm in the middle of renovating a house at the minute, so I don't have a home. But once that house is built and I moved in and I've got my library hall on it, you know, finishing The High Republic is going to be, or getting up to date with it even, is going to be the biggest thing for me, because The High Republic is fantastic. You know, it's Tales of the Jedi from a golden era. They haven't started to fall yet. The sort of the cancer, the rot hasn't set into the Jedi Order yet, or so it seems. And the galaxy is this sort of this wide open Wild West of fun. So I definitely recommend The High Republic. And comics wise, you know, I loved the Rise of Kylo Ren story, which was by Charles Soule, I believe. You know, sort of ties in Ben Solo sort of leaving Luke's castle and sort of going to join the Knights of Ren, and Snoke being in his ear, and you know, it's again just a great story. I'm also enjoying, I'm currently reading at the minute, Shadows of the Sith, which is sort of a tie in book two, The Rise of Skywalker, sort of showing you Luke and Lando's journey to find Ochi Bestoon. Not a cool sort of Sith and Jedi lore being told in that book. Also get to see Luke and Lars Antaka become friends there. And I also love the Poe Dameron comic book series, I think meant for 4 volumes, which sort of, you know, tied in Black Squadron. Poe deals with Poe looking for why he was looking for Lars Antaka at the beginning of Force Awakens. And then it also ties into sort of what happens next for Black Squadron after the events of The Force Awakens as well. But I think that's the main canon storylines I've really loved. One book that was fantastic, though, is a Rogue One novel, Catalyst, which is essentially a tie-in novel to the Rogue One movie. So it starts during the Clone Wars, and it shows you Galen Erso and Director Krennic's sort of relationship, the sort of two young men in the Clone Wars, and how that develops into the Empire, into the Imperial era, and then sort of how Galen gets involved with the Death Star project, and then also how that ends. And it makes that first scene when you watch Rogue One and Krennic turns up, and you know, he talks about being a farmer and Lyra being dead, all that stuff sort of, it pops more when you've read Catalyst. So I 100% recommend reading a Rogue One novel, Catalyst, and then watching Rogue One after you finish it, and you'll really enjoy that as a sort of a double head of story, 100%. Jason, you want to talk about some non-canon books, the more, you know, the encyclopedias and the art books and stuff, so go ahead, bud.
My all-time favourite, which I received as a gift for my 40th, is the art of Star Wars Rebels. And I got the special edition with the opening box with the lightsabers. So as you open the box, the lightsabers light up and you get the shoom as they come up sort of thing. and then you've got a piece of artwork in there, and then you've got the book that is absolutely beautiful. And being a Rebels fan, it was my grail piece that I had to own. So I would say it's one of those ones that if you get the chance to get it, get it. It's worth every penny. So yeah, that one. I've also been enjoying series, just trying to remember the name, because I've just recently got the Secrets of the Bounty Hunters, which is an amazing one, because it's told by Hondo and Arca, and you've got all these little pull-out pieces that tell you about different bounty hunters, and you've got Hondo's card for his membership to the Bounty Hunters Guild and all these little bits. And obviously they did the Sith version and the Jedi version previously, and they're books that they're not necessarily full of spoilers, they're just fun books to be able to look through, explore the world of Star Wars, and also they've got these little extra bits throughout them. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, those ones. And just any of the encyclopedias, actually, some of them are full of little gems, and the artwork that you get from the films is something that, sadly, I used to collect. I think I had all of the ones from the prequels, but then when we moved house at one point, my ex-wife sadly threw most of them away, and I've wanted to replace them, but I haven't managed to get round to it yet. But those books, I've always been a fan of behind-the-scenes books, and there's been some absolutely brilliant ones, normally done by the likes of DK Media and that sort of thing. And obviously, I think the Secrets of the Bounty Hunter and all of that sort of thing is done by Insight Editions. So there's another sort of side to the literature that's actually quite fun to look at, and you might not necessarily come across, because you might look at it and think, oh, that's for kids, really.
Yeah, I think one of my favourite ones is the art of The Last Jedi. Some of the concept art that was developed for that movie is eye-watering. Another few of mine, I've got the Star Wars Archives, so sort of the Volume 1, which deals with the original trilogy, and then Volume 2, which deals with the prequel trilogy, is pretty cool. I recommend picking those up. I've got the smaller versions, so sort of the slightly cheaper, still really awesome quality, awesome stuff, but then you can get the larger sort of coffee table editions that are also fantastic. One set of books I do want that I can't afford right now is the sort of the history of Ralph McQuarrie's art. It's like it's in two volumes, concept art for Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're a couple of hundred quid a pop, but they look fantastic. Maybe one day. But yeah, there's a lot of different choices out there if you are interested in that type of thing. I think that sort of wraps up the things I wanted to talk about today, Jason. Anything you want to add?
No, I think, you know, it's sort of been a look at the sort of different bits that we've got that we can enjoy of Star Wars. And we, you know, asking to pick five main characters and five background characters. As I was reading out the names that I picked, I was suddenly hating myself for not picking 20 others. And I think that's the vastness of Star Wars and why so many of us can actually do podcasts to talk about it, is because there's infinite ways that you can go. And that's what part of the fun, which is obviously why I'm really looking forward to Celebration next.
Yeah, and also we're able to find you at Celebration, Jason.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously going to be exploring the place, hopefully with yourself, Pete, and obviously also I'll be hopefully helping out with the guys on the Jedi News booth, which, as I understand, it's going to be hopefully with the UKG guys and all the other different groups. And it, you know, this is my first ever time at Celebration. I think it was 4 years ago that I did my first, maybe even 5 years ago, I did my first MCM Comic Con in Birmingham, which is where I really got the love for it. And I was lucky enough there to be working with James and Steve and alongside the UKG and Rebel Legion, doing a stand. Or, you know, we had a little stand there, and I ended up spending a morning building the Lego, I think it was their sand speeder that they released as a kit, which Lego kindly donated to us to build on the stand so that people could just come and watch me building Lego, which was the perfect day for me. And then James ended up building the UCS Hulkbuster kit that again had been donated by Lego. So I'm looking forward to when we get up to Celebration, exploring what's on offer up there, but getting to meet more people to do with Star Wars, catch up with friends, you know, a lot of the guys from the Mando Mercs I want to catch up with, droid builders. There's so many different groups, and also guys that are coming over from America. You know, I'm definitely hoping that I'm going to get to meet up with Savannah and Brian, to actually meet the people that I've been listening to. And, you know, that for me is just going to be a great atmosphere, which is something I'm really looking forward to.
Definitely. Well, that brings the end of the episode. So again, just want to say thank you everybody for listening. It really does mean a lot. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave us a top review. Only takes you a few moments, but it makes us smile forever. Also helps people find the podcast a lot more easier. If you're listening on a podcast provider that's not Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but it does give you a opportunity to leave a rating, just again, please leave a top rating. Again, as I said, it makes our day, and it also allows us to sort of get found by other people. You can follow me on social media at Geordie Jedi Pete. That is on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at Boars Store. And you can find the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Star Wars Podcast. This has been our Star Wars Podcast Day special. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. Again, as I said, some awesome other Star Wars podcasts out there. There's loads. Two of my favorites are the Doty Diva Show and Sky Talkers. Go check those out. Thank you very much for listening. May the force be with you all. And remember, always tell that to Kanja Club.
Hello, Star Wars listeners. This is Savannah Odit. You might know me as host of the Dorky Diva Show with my co-host Brian Balance. I am also producer of The Adventures of the Zolan Dart, which is a Star Wars-inspired audio drama that we produced over the last year. If you love stories about smugglers, courage, heroic characters, and maybe a few foes along the way, you should go to thedorkydivashow.com and listen to The Adventures of the Zolan Dart today.
Shout! We've got your pigs.
Were any of the critters harmed?
What did you do now?
I didn't do anything! I just freaked out for no reason!
It was nice doing business with you again. Maybe next time we could deliver something less... temperamental.
Now, what you call temperamental, I call fun.
Hey, is there a place nearby where I can make some repairs?
Three clicks south of here, you'll find a small spaceport. They should have what you need, as long as it's nothing too big.
Dynamic class? My stars, you don't hear about many of those still being spaceworthy.
It's been in my family for a while.
She's pretty great. Any chance you have a hover cart we can use to load up?
I'll check out the holonet to see if anything new has come up in the sector.
My name is Sereth Khon. I am the chief here on Kamai. My people and I have been experiencing food shortages as of late due to unforeseen natural occurrences. We are looking to hire someone.
I say we take this one. The pay is great, and it's the type of job we're familiar with.
Welcome, welcome. You must be Captain Otoa. I've already sent word to Pak-2 to expect you in the next cycle or so.
You told him we were coming before we even accepted the job. That's rather presumptuous, isn't it?
Perhaps, though, once I received confirmation that you were interested and on your way here, I couldn't help but hope.
Fair enough. Well, we'll be back as soon as we can.
Well, that's not good.
Is that blaster fire I hear?
Ah, so you're the one.
Cap'n, it sounds like they want to do this the hard way.
I love when they got some fight in them.
This is bad. This is bad. We're about to have a lot of company.
I'll see you soon.